This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their five-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro.
Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.
Y'all can go to Destin with them tourists all around. I'll go to South Texas where my friends can be found. Lord, I know that's in Fort Alto.
All right, folks, and we are back. This is the Deep in the Hunt of Texas podcast. I am your host, Connor Little, and we are taking you on another solo journey this week. Had a little scheduling conflicts, you know, across the board. That's the way it goes sometimes. It's spring. Everyone's busy. Everyone's got stuff going on. I work in construction, so this is, you know, kind of the quote-unquote busy season where, you know, it's not freezing ass cold and it's not so hot that you want to die. So, it's just one of those things that happens, but we're going to still get into a few things here. That doesn't mean the show does not go on. You know, it's, what do they say? If you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. We ain't fucking folding them tonight, baby. We're going to hold them. We're going to ride the hole. Sometimes you're going to ride the pony that gets you there. And right now that pony is myself. We might be in dire straits if that's the case, but that's all that matters. So just a couple updates, you know, a little outdoor news in my life. We'll start off on some positive notes before we just talk about some just absolutely asinine things going on in the outdoor wildlife hunting nation scope. This is more going to be a national thing than Texas, but I adopted a dog. I know I kind of mentioned that last week with John Hudspeth, but I kind of wanted to tell the story a little bit where I came across a Facebook post that somebody had to rehome a 9-year-old German short-haired pointer, and I, you know, have had labs in the past, and kind of that's been the only dog I've had. I've actually only had female black labs. I don't know what that says about me, but I just, you know, I wasn't really taking it too seriously, and she had gone to hunting school, and you know, didn't probably get hunted as much as she should have been. I'm probably not going to hunt her, but I just kind of reached out. I was like, hey guys, I'd love to meet her. Went down to shout out Mutt's Cantina in Clear Fork in Fort Worth. Met Rose, that is her name, and decided to go ahead and take her home with me. So I don't know. Hold on. Let's see. She's asleep. Rose, here. Hold on. I think she's waking up. That's a little dead air there, but that's okay. Rose, here. Here she comes.
Hi. Here. Here.
Oh, ho, ho. You want to come say hi?
Here.
Pick you up here. Oh, she got in some water today. All right, everybody. This is the official mascot of the Deep in the Hunt of Texas. Stop sticking your legs out, girl. Deep in the Hunt of Texas podcast. This is Rose, everybody. And she hates me for waking her up, but this is going to be our official dog for a while here. And so we're going to let her down before she spazzes out and hates me, and I'll let her go back to bed.
Oh.
Good girl. We're going to shut the door so she can go to sleep. Not the best podcasting work there, but we're not going to do any editing. But, you know, sometimes you have to do what you have to do. So, that is Rose, and she hopefully she'll be – if anything, she's going to be a heck of a ranch hand. Sometimes you need a little company on those late weeknights, filling up deer feeders, trimming brush or whatnot. I don't know. Maybe I might even try to do a little – Look, I'm not going to hunt birds over. I think she's a little too old to kind of reintroduce her to that. But not saying we can't get a little coon dog here. We can't do a little shed hunting dog, maybe. I know that time has kind of passed, but I don't know. We'll just have to see. But other than that, that's kind of what's going on. I guess anything, some you know, other stuff, news and notes going on in my life is it is kind of golf season, so I'm gonna be putting that to the test playing the US Mid-Am. I can play a little golf from time to time, however, not necessarily the best golfer in the world either. Some of those guys are pretty insane. Other than that, you know, that's kind of the news and the notes and the happenings here in Fort Worth, Texas in my life. But speaking of news, there is quite a bit going around. There are some massive proposed budget cuts in a new bill that is being pushed around by our president. Let me get this article pulled back up because I thought I had it. Once again, we are not professional podcasting. This is amateur hour. Let's see here. And we're pulling it up. All right. So proposed 2026-2027 federal budget cuts, including a potential $736 million reduction to the National Park Service and over 60% cuts to the Forest Service, threaten to close over 350 parks, slash maintenance, reduce staff, and cut ranger-led programs. These cuts affect trails, conservation, wildlife management, impacting the $1.3 trillion outdoor economy. Impact on outdoor areas proposed, National Park Service potential 35% operating budget cut, could lose up to 350 sites. Already mentioned that. Forest Service faces 60% budget cuts. Bureau of Land Management, BLM, faces a 35% cut, specifically targeting recreation and conservation programs. Let me read that one more time. Specifically targeting recreation and conservation programs. Public access, probably the most important thing and the hottest topic going on in the hunting space, domain, whatever you call it, access. It's becoming slimmer and slimmer nationwide. I know that access here in Texas is, if you want to go get a little access, go get you a little money. Pick up a couple shifts on the weekend, work a little overtime. If that's how you want to get access, that's what you got to do. Eat a couple bologna sandwiches. Increased risk of delayed trade. I can't read tonight. Good Lord, I sound like a fool. Increased risk of delayed trail maintenance, closed campgrounds, reduced visitor center hours, and fewer safe, accessible public lands. Wildfire and conservation. Reduction in fire suppression staff and funds for collaborative forestry programs to protect communities. You know what? I feel like that kid right now when you're in elementary school. And I was, not to say I was that, I definitely wasn't a kid actually, but when they were doing popcorn heads up reading or whatever, and they call your name, and you're just like, fuck. And then they just skip along a word at a time and everyone's kind of like snickering at you. If you don't read out loud too often, it sounds a little stupid. So I'm going to go ahead and apologize for that. So backing that up, what is going on here? I don't understand. I mean, I do understand actually. As a country, and hand to God, a conservative here, I've voted for Donald Trump 3 times, but what the fuck are we doing? I mean, seriously, like this has been the biggest, just like, complete joke. I mean, complete just backstabbing. I mean, we were just completely buffooned into just pushing this administration. We were told this was the new golden age. We had won the House, the Senate, and the presidency. This was the new golden age of American times. And we were going to get all of these things that were promised to us in a campaign. And lo and behold, what's happened? I mean, not a damn thing. We're no better off than we were under Joe Biden. I mean, we might be. I will go out and say we are worse off than we were under Joe Biden. I mean, this is awful. I mean, you want to talk about hunting season? You want to talk about access? Specifically here in Texas, okay, access is going to be a little harder to be accessible when it's $5.50 a gallon to fill my truck up. You want to talk about access? I mean, I don't want to go run from the warehouse in Dallas, Irving, up to Bowie to go fill feeders 2 times a month. I mean, that's another $200. I mean, maybe not 200. That's another $100, $150. Like, what are we doing here? But back on topic, $765 million cut to the National Park Service, the famously overfunded, overstaffed National Park Service. I mean, what are we doing? Like, and really this all started, and this, we knew this was going to happen. This wasn't dead when Mike Lee introduced this into the big, beautiful bill. And let me tell you, a little sidebar on Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee. Mike Lee is from the state of Utah. I lived in Utah for 2.5 years. So I can speak on this, in a little bit more depth than what other people I think can. And I'm not Mormon or whatever, but there's some weird shit going on in Utah. I think everyone in the country is just completely putting them away and forgotten about what is going on in Utah. okay, first of all the weird shit you see on social media, it's true. Okay, soaking, I don't even know what else there is. All the weird Mormon stuff, not drinking caffeine, not drinking coffee. I don't know. The soda shops, the soda, disgusting. The horrifying stuff, really. You go and you order a Mountain Dew with Nerds and coffee creamer and drink it out of sour straws, but a Tito's and soda is really where, like, God frowns upon you, or Joseph Smith frowns upon you. Okay, let's really draw the line here, and let's make some sense of that, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Anyways, Mike Lee, there's rumors. We'll say rumors at best. Let me back up, actually. The Mormon Church has a lot of money. Let's start there. And the Mormon Church has political dominance in what is the state of Utah. Anyone who holds a significant office, from the governorship down to senators, down to the House of Representatives, they are affiliated with the Mormon Church. And if you really understand the beliefs of how Utah came to be, the history of Utah as far as the immigration with an E, from Missouri to Utah to escape religious persecution, you start to understand that in the very foundation of Mormonism, if you will, is a hatred. And not necessarily hatred, probably disdain. Disdain is a good way to put it for the U.S. federal government. And not to say there's nothing wrong with a bit of disdain for the U.S. government right now. However, it is institutionalized into a government that, or is a not, it's even a non-government entity, if you will, that is governmentized. That's not a word itself. In the state of Utah, otherwise known as a theocracy. So you have this fundamental institutional belief that they have authority given to them by God over the federal government. Federal government including National Park Services. National Park Services that mine in Fort Worth, Texas, yours, whether you're in San Antonio, Houston, Pearland, Dallas, even, damn it, even you folks in Dallas pay for this too. Just deserve to as much as we are. Pains me to say it. Whether it doesn't matter if you're in Texas, Iowa, Oklahoma, your tax dollars pay for these places. We all understand the Pittsburgh. Dude, it's actually not the reading. I just can't talk tonight. It's 11:43 at night. The Pittman-Robertson Act, good Lord, all of those tax dollars from duck stamps, hunting licenses, all go back to fund greater conservation. The greatest conservationists in the United States are hunters, are fishermen, are outdoorsmen, people that participate. This doesn't, your campers and your hikers aren't participating in this, and I dropped my water bottle. They're not participating in this. With that being said, that brings us to the topic of Senator Mike Lee. So what is happening in Utah is Mike Lee, who authored this portion of the Big Beautiful Bill that got struck down in 2025. There's speculation, rumors, a lot of talk that this is fueled by the fact that the state of Utah and the Mormon Church, we'll just come out and say it, doesn't believe that these federal lands should be existing in the state of Utah, and under the guise of creating new housing, and if you're not watching, this is in quotations, creating new housing for expansion. Okay, if you've ever been to Utah, I'm gonna key you in on Utah. You get out of the greater, like, Wasatch, greater Salt Lake area, there's not a whole lot going on, okay? There's plenty of room to expand. You get in Salt Lake, you get on 80, drive west to the Ocher Mountains, get out to Tooele, and you got nothing but flat land from there all the way to Tahoe, California through Nevada, okay? There's no shortage of space in the American West. So why do we need to sell off our BLM, our national lands to private investors? And oh, guess what? Where do you think Mike Lee's going to sell those private investors? Do you think they're going to be commercial real estate companies from Texas? No. Do you think they're going to be commercial real estate companies or private equity from New York? No. They're going to be local Utah people. And guess what? They're going to frame it because they're going to twist it and manipulate it like politicians do. They're going to frame it and go, oh, you know, we're going to keep it local. These are Utah lands that are going to go to Utah locals. And they're going to go to people who are high up in the Mormon church, who also share this belief. And the Mormon church is going to turn it in their big slush fund because guess what? They have one. Look it up. Hundreds of millions of dollars. I even think it might be $1 billion now. I don't know. Don't quote me. They have more money than they should have. I'll leave it at that. And I'll go stand on that business any day of the week. Shout out Josh Benson doing the good work on that stuff too. And I'll go stand on that. And you want to sit here and lie to the American people, American hunters, honest, hardworking, good people, and say, oh, well, you know, I think that it's we need it for more housing. Oh, affordable housing. Oh, that's like welfare for like, that's like welfare for the middle class. It's like when all the poor people get their EBT and like their little child care tax credit for having 6-7 baby daddies. 6-7. that's what it is to the middle class is people go affordable housing. That's like crack that the Republican Party likes to throw out there. Oh, it's for affordable housing. Get the fuck out of here. Like, I got no interest in hearing your affordable housing bullshit, Mike Lee. We're not stupid. And that's really what is I find insulting too, is they think you, they think me, they think us as the American people as outdoor conservationists are just a bunch of dumb hillbillies who just prance around and just, oh, I'm going hunting this weekend. Oh, and it's just, you know, it's embarrassing how stupid and how little that these politicians think of you and what they think they can pull over on you. I mean, they're not even trying to hide it anymore, frankly. They're just doing it in broad daylight, and it's either they've just gotten lazy or they don't care or they just think we're that stupid, and all of them are just completely unacceptable. Sorry, I got to take another water break here. And here's the other thing, if we really want to get in the weeds here too, and maybe I'll have some hot takes here and get clipped. I might clip myself here, but $765 million. How much money are we sending overseas? How much money have we sent to Ukraine in the last 6 years, 4 years, actually, excuse me? How much money have we sent to Israel in the last 4 or 5 years? How much money are we spending on this war with Iran? War of choice. War of choice with Iran. But we can't carve out $765 million. That's as far as the federal government goes, that's nothing. Nothing. I mean, let's pull up what the defense budget is. The defense budget for 2026, $1 trillion at an 800 and $38 billion base with an increase of $150 billion from last year. I'm all for having a strong military. I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. That is not what I'm trying to say here. I'm just saying, out of all the wealth and just of this country, the greatest country on earth, all the misappropriation of funds and going on, we couldn't find a way to carve out half of that, let alone not even the whole portion. Let's just say $765 million is just untenable. Can't do it. Doesn't exist. You know, hey, I might even bite on that one. Again, I'm one of these stupid hunters who can't read the damn news article that Mike Lee wants to pull a fast one over on and say, hey, well, what if we could get half? I might take half. So you're telling me that you can't come up with $335 million-ish, even if it's at half? $332.5, whatever it would be. We're not doing mental math here. Well, what's the point? Like, what? Like, truly, what is the point of having a government that is not going to invest resources back into the country, whether that's infrastructure, whether that's benefits for people that actually work? You know, what, we got a ton of people on welfare, EBT, have housing supplements who just sit at home and do nothing. What about benefits for those people? What about benefits for land? The National Park Service is an incredibly uniquely American idea. It's not really what exists of what our ancestors in Western Europe did. Conservation was not something that happened proactively there. It was reactively done. We had the foresight, people that came 150 years before us, the 120 years, the Teddy Roosevelts of the world, that decided, hey guys, we have the most beautiful landscape in the world. Most of, in my opinion, most of that being the American West. So beautiful that I had to go live out there for a little bit and put up with a bunch of Mormons. That's how beautiful I thought it was. And you're telling me that we just are going to completely lose that idea because of special interest groups, because of governmental waste, because of political corruption. I mean, come on. Like, give me a break here. And you think you could just sell it off so other people in the club can profit off of it, and then just under the guise of affordable housing? I mean, good God, dude. It's embarrassing. I mean, we are such a joke of a country right now. I mean, it is. We have a president who, truly, like I said, voted for the guy three times. He's not running the show. It's Biden 2.0. I mean, we all know who's in his pocketbooks, and I'm not going to come out here and blatantly say it. If you can't figure out that out yourself, that's on you. But, like, why are all this money overseas for what? Like, what for what that happens in this country? Like, I just can't seem to wrap my head around it. So, moral of the story here is, Mike Lee, fuck you. You're a piece of shit. Sorry, Mom. I'm pretty sure my mom does listen to this. She's not going to be very proud of some of my language here. But that's neither here nor there. You know, if you got kids in the car for this one, not the one you want, okay? We tried to start it on a good note with having a dog introduction, start out light and lighthearted and have a good time, but here we are 30 minutes in and I'm, you know, telling U.S. senators to go to hell, which, you know, probably isn't that controversial anymore. but I don't know. It's sad, really. And it's going to keep going this way. I mean, this is a steamship that has just gone off the reservation. And this kind of brings me to another point. And this is something I don't really want to dig into, but there's certain social media accounts out there that are just like, you know, talking about shrinking the hunting industry, shrinking the number of hunters, shrinking the number of people that are hunting and not making it industry, and just under this guise of this idea that the hunting world domestically has become too much of a hunting industry. And I can't disagree with that more. And I'm not going to call these people out by name. I think some of them have really done their due diligence, and I won't even say they're wrong in some certain aspects. They're just misled. And I think this is one of the reasons why they're misled, and that I can't remember what the actual bill is off the top of my head, but hunter recruitment is not vital to maintaining our sport, our passion, our pastime. But once again, this is uniquely American. This is not a European thing where I can go out 30 minutes from my house and go hunt on land that is taxpayer funded by the United States government. This is federal land over here that I pay for, that people in Oklahoma, God forbid, pay for, people in New York pay for the land that I can go hunt 30 minutes from my house. Okay? So that is by right, by God-given right, our, as a country, our land. And people are trying to take that away from us. And people are saying, oh, we don't need more hunters. There's too much of a fad. Oh, COVID, it popularized hunting. And now people, they just post pictures with big antlers and whatnot. I'm like, guys, that's not just unique to hunting. That's anything else. Going back to the golf thing, I mean, I can't get a tee time. I mean, there's highs and lows. I mean, I got to fight to get a tee time on a weekend at a decent course. And that's just the nature of the beast now. But I promise you this, that there's not golf courses going out of business left and right. The quality of the courses, I mean, the price has gone up for sure. But there's pros and cons to every aspect. But what the key difference here there is, hunting is there's a legislative issue here. And it goes deeper than just the access to hunting lands, where the concept of me being able to go hunt, provide for myself, provide for my family is uniquely American. I don't have to have X amount of acres bought or access to the funds that has X amount of acres to be able to do that. I can do that self-sufficiently. And I think that speaks to what actually is going on in this country on a deeper sense, and I'll go into a couple other things here in a second. But I think there's a group of people who really don't want people to be self-sufficient at all. They don't want people to be able to provide for themselves. They have to have them provide on the government for food, for shelter, for security. And that's just sad, really. It's disgusting. It's deeply, deeply un-American in the fact that we have these people in government who half of them aren't even real Americans. I mean, call it like you see it. You see some of these guys in Congress, in the House of Representatives, in the Senate, who can barely speak a lick of English. And I'm sorry, you're not an American. You don't get to come here and tell me about my country and my culture and tell me about, oh, what my Second Amendment rights are. You don't get to tell me how where I can and can't go and provide for my family, provide so other people can provide for their families. You don't get to tell people. You're not included in that. You don't know that. And you're, frankly, you shouldn't be privileged to that if you're not going to respect it. And so going back to the legislative issue in the hunter recruitment is, yes, we need to be recruiting more hunters. Are there downsides to that? Absolutely. But the downside of not having enough is it all goes away. And I know that's too far out in the future for some people to see and to care about. But I think it's in this era as hunters, one of the most important things we can do for the next generation. I'm 32. I don't have kids yet, but someday I will here probably in the near future, near-ish future. Maybe by the time I'm 40-ish, hopefully. As we can plant a tree whose shade we will never sit in here with the hunting industry and access and all the other things that are going on in the conservation world, is we can be good stewards of it, because there are people before us who haven't been good stewards of it, frankly. And yes, I'm talking about you, baby boomers. And what we can do is we can be proactive and grow the population of hunters, because here's what's happening. And this is, and here's the thing is, I really don't want to get on here and talk politics. I see enough shit on Twitter or X or Instagram, and I'm flooded with it 24/7. But then stuff like this starts to happen. You understand it's all connected. It all intertwines. And what's happening is it's the great replacement. I mean, I saw somebody online that there's could be 100 million immigrants in this country, or illegal immigrants, 100 million. We got here in Texas, we have H-1B-1 fraud rampant across DFW, specifically in Collin County. I mean, it's insane, and you can find a million things online about all that. But what happens? These people aren't hunters, and I'm not saying we shouldn't go recruit these people, but they're not going to be hunters. I'm sorry. They think cows are sacred and don't eat beef. And frankly, if you're going to come to Texas and not eat beef, I don't want you here. That's not a culture thing. That's not a skin color thing. If you're not going to eat beef in Texas, get the fuck out. We don't want you here. You know, there's a reason Texas is famous for a lot of things. Santa Gertrudis cattle, the King Ranch. Okay, if you don't want to eat beef, go somewhere else. Go to South Carolina, eat pork barbecue. Okay, we don't want you here if you're not going to eat beef. So with all that being said, those people, they're not going to be hunters. But what happens is the dilution of the voting population of hunters in this country. And we are going to continue to have less and less of a say, unless we do something about it. Now, granted, does that mean out west you are going to draw for less tags? Probably so. That's just the hard reality. It is either we grow our political voice or it goes away. And I'm sorry, it happens in inches. It just happens an inch at a time till we look up in 30 years and look back from 2026 to 2056 and we go, well, what the hell happened? What were the damn frogs in the boiling pot is what happened, is they just slowly turned the water up on us, and we looked back and said, ah, shit, I don't know how my ass got boiled and I didn't jump out. Because that's what's going to happen. And that's what's happening in every other aspect in this damn country right now. It's sad. It really is, but you know, we're gonna move on to some more positive news stories here, current events, if you will. This is from last year, but I'm catching up on it from hunting season last year. I don't have to read through a powerwall or a firewall here that I don't have to go through. But Texas game wardens say they used a secret camera to flush out a poacher who is using a converted porta potty to deer hunt without the landowner's permission. The investigation began last deer season when game wardens discovered a hunting blind made of an old portable toilet, according to a news release Texas Parks and Wildlife Department published Monday. This is not this Monday. This is a little bit of an older story. They set up game camera in hopes of catching the culprit next time he returned to the plastic throne. Honestly, I don't hate it. I know it wasn't legal, but might be driving the old truck and trailer out to some of the construction that's screwing up my neighborhood, and one of those porta potties might disappear. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, do you know how nice that would be? Especially after couple plates of enchiladas at Spicy Mexico. Shout out. We'll give free ads for Spicy Mexico. We'll always stomp that down. And, you know, while we're speaking of free ads here, this podcast and all podcasts are brought to you by Kirko Services. Kirko Services is your ideal number one hot shot, need it fast transportation service for the greater Gulf Coast, specifically in Houston. Well, some of you guys say Houston. I don't know why there's an H there. Most of y'all can't read down there. I can't read clearly by the earlier part of this podcast. Some of y'all can't read down there either and say Houston. Greater Houston area. Give my boy Curtis, a shout. And Curtis's email is curtis@kirko, C-U-R-C-O, kirkoservices.com. One more time, that is Curtis, C-U-R-T-I-S, at kirko, C-U-R-C-O, services.com. He will get you right at a fair price. But going back to the porta potty, speaking of hot shot services, maybe I have Curtis hot shot a porta potty up here. See, the wheels are turning in my head. And as we pontificate on this idea of how I can simultaneously take a shit and shoot a deer, legally, albeit, I'm very, very curious to see how this is gonna shake out, if you will. But I feel like if you are going to go poaching, there's a lot more discreet ways to go about it. I mean, I don't know how you go poaching with a porta potty. Like, it's not like somebody just, like, it's not like you just Scooby-Dooed it and you picked it up and then just kind of shuffled with it, set it back down and picked it up and shuffled with it. Like, you had to bring that thing out in the trailer and set it up there. And there is some effort going on there for sure. Who knows? I mean, who knows? You know, it's after the first part of this podcast. I think I'll believe anything these days. I mean, not believe anything. Anything can happen at this point. Who cares? I mean, I'm not even shocked. I mean, the news cycle moves so fast. It does. All right, folks. Well, it is past midnight here, and I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up and call it. I appreciate you guys as always. Shout out to the Deep in the Hunt of Texas universe. You guys are awesome. And that one is out. Holla.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro. Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep,
calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.